Hey everyone, welcome to the Grabs Podcast. I am your host today, Grant, and with me I've got Barrett Dorner. He's a fire chief for Lake Township in Northwest Ohio. That's Wood County, and we're going to be talking about a grab that they made in Rossford on December 15th, 2023. So, welcome, Barrett. How you doing?
Thank you, Grant. I'm doing well. Good to talk to somebody from my hometown, even if you're in a warmer place than I am. So that's not
Well.
fair, but we're both Perrysburg, Ohio kids. So
We are. So yeah, I saw this rescue come across the social media and you reached out to me. And man, I love it when I can do a Grabs podcast with somebody that I know in a region that I know. So why don't, before we talk about the grab or the area, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I started my volunteer side in 2009 at Rossford Fire, as a matter of fact. Kind of started on the volunteer side thinking that was what I was going to do on the side, and while I was a TV reporter at the time, and thought I would do that the rest of my life and just do the volunteer thing. Well, my brother and I got on Rossford at the same time, and long story short, decided that's what we needed to do for a living. So bounced around some part-time departments, ended up getting the outstanding opportunity to serve on Toledo Fire for 9 years. And then the opportunity came along to be the chief here at Lake Township. And I'm kind of wired for that mix of administration and operations. I kind of thrive on, being able to work on a budget, but also running out the door to a structured fire. So I left my brother behind. He's still working in Toledo at Engine 23 as the first driver. And now I'm driving a desk most of the time, but I still get to go out and play, which is a really nice balance for me.
So for those that don't know the area, can you tell us a little bit about the area, how you guys respond to structure fires and kind of what the just the search culture and overall suppression culture is up there?
So for perspective, we're on the western tip of Lake Erie, basically. We are not actually near the lake, despite being called Lake Township, but we're just south of Toledo. So I-280 runs through our jurisdiction that connects the Ohio Turnpike with I-75. A lot of people go on, from Cleveland or Chicago up to Detroit or vice versa, make it through Lake Township. So in northern Wood County, which Lucas, which is Toledo, and Wood County are separated by the Maumee River. In northern Wood County, it's a mix of full-time departments, and then volunteer or part-time with paid per call supplementing that. So we have full-time administrative staff, and then we are part-time staffed with a minimum of two on a medic unit. We managed to add a third last year and put kind of a quick response vehicle in place. It's got a really small pump, but we literally call it a glorified water can in our SOGs. We are now adding volunteer riding positions to put an engine in service a couple days a week. So we're trying to chip away at the need as we eclipse 1600 runs a year, 80% of those being EMS, of course, but 20% of those being fire and a lot of MVAs in our area. So we are neighbored by Allen Clay, which is in Ottawa County. Work really well together with all of our neighbors, but I was a chief in Ottawa County part-time before I took this full-time chief job. So Chief Musoff and Allen Clay and I work really well together. I'll kind of explain that in a little bit. So the north is Northwood Fire. And then to our west is Perrysburg Township, which is a full-time department. And Rossford, we don't actually border, but I'll kind of explain the circumstances of how we got to Rossford that day when we start talking about that incident.
So,
And to answer the search, oh, sorry, Grant. To answer the search culture part, I forgot the third part of the question. I think we're seeing a lot in this area. The same thing we're kind of seeing nationally is that push back toward, that driven positive search culture. Make grabs, not excuses stickers. I think we're at this scene that people have got from you and others. And so I think that pride in knowing we're going to go in, we're going to make that search and make those grabs if those grabs to be made. I mean, the crews that to be frank, out of the three people that were taken out of this building, and none who were transported, amazingly. I think mine was the easiest, and Perrysburg Township and Rossford both had their own grabs out of this. And each of those crews are super aggressive and and really in that search mindset. So I think that resurgence we're seeing nationally is reflected locally here as well.
That's cool. And my hopes is that we can get all those grabs recorded to go in succession. Would be kind of cool because we haven't done that
Yeah.
before with having multiple crews making multiple grabs on that. So take us to December 15th, 2023, and let's talk about this run.
Yeah, I was. I actually at the time lived closer to Rossford than I did to Lake Township. I was on a day off, and they got a report of a structured fire at an apartment complex. We have an agreement, so even though we don't have automatic aid with Rossford, we have an agreement that the chiefs before my time that are still in place here in Northern Wood County put in place called the Assistant Management Assistant or Incident Management Assistance Team, rather. So we, for short, it's IMAT. And that gives us the leeway as chief officers to respond to anything in the five northern departments' jurisdiction. So if I hear something that sounds like it needs a chief officer to help support what those crews are doing, even if it's in Rossford, I can respond to that. And we have that written agreement. So that has done so much. And again, that came to be in my time as a firefighter at Rossford. When the chiefs in this area, Perrysburg Township, Perrysburg City, Tom Bryce, Jeff Klein, Josh Drewer, those guys all work together to say, hey, let's have this agreement and help each other out. Bruce Morris, the chief who came in or who I replaced here when he retired. And I think that alone has done so much to get us all on the same page. And I'm reaping the benefits from that as a new chief in this area. That we are operating on more scenes together because we have that shared understanding that if you need help, I'm going to come, and we have this agreement in place. So that was partially the reason I went, as we had that IMAT, and it sounded like it could be a good working fire. The other portion of the story was Rossford's been having some staffing struggles, and we've tried to creatively solve those. And at the time, we were actually helping them staff their medic unit with Lake Township personnel that were off duty from us, but Rossford was going to pay them basically as a project to help them through some tough times. And they've rebounded quite well. They're still working on their long-term solutions. But we had two Lake Township personnel working on Rossford medic unit that day. So I wanted to be there in case it was a legit working fire. So on the way there, Chief Drewer from Rossford marks a working fire, smoke showing. And I believe he pretty quickly made it a second alarm. So we knew obviously we were going to work. I pulled up. I originally was going to pull into a spot. It's a weird setback apartment complex. There's only one road in and out. There's one hydrant at the street, and so and there's there was one lane pretty much for us to put an engine in a truck. So I was originally going to pull into a parking spot, and then I'm thinking, man, I want to leave room for an engine in a truck. So I pulled off into the grass, kind of right next to where Josh had set up the command post, and I'm gearing up, and I shot over to him, hey, I'm on scene, half jokingly because I'm a big fan of making stuff normal, right? Like I've been friends with Josh for years. And so me just shouting over, hey, Chief 27's on scene. That just brought a little, I don't want to say levity, but a little normalcy to we're at a working fire. And so I'm gearing up and he assigns me safety verbally as we're standing there and then announces it on the radio. And it was, I have the time here. It was 2 minutes from my arrival that I heard somebody say something about a bell. And I believe that was one of the Rossford guys that had spotted somebody come out. And this was a garden style apartment. The basement level, obviously half basement, and then I actually called it Division 3, but more appropriately, it probably would have been Division 2. But the top floor, a gentleman came out on his balcony, chooch and smoke coming out behind him, and I said, "Safety's got a victim, and I'm going to grab the ladder." And so that was the first victim we were aware of. So I went, grabbed the ladder. I had some guys offering to help, and I'm like, I highly attribute my ability to perform on the training, obviously, as we all do, right? If you didn't train on this, you're not going to be good at it. So this wasn't the first time I threw a 24-footer on my own. I've been a proponent of that for a long time. And when I got assigned the slowest station in Toledo out of the academy, that was or out of my rotations, getting my first actual bid, that was what I would do, and try not to wake the guys up by throwing the ladder against the wall too hard. So, I wanted to be proficient on throwing ladders. And if I hadn't done that, I probably would have been fumbling with it and messing with it, whatever. So threw the ladder to the balcony, went up there, we're talking to him, and one of the things that I wish I had done, and there's a couple of these things I'll share with you. One of these things that I wish I had done was said, close the door, man. Like, close the door behind you. Didn't even pop into my head to say that to him, but I don't know how much he could have cooperated anyway. And that was like in the first couple hours of like thinking, okay, what would I do different? Well, I've got a dash cam, and I went and listened to the dash cam. And actually, one of the Rossford firefighters shouts to him, close your door. Now he's shouting through the mask, so I don't think he really heard him, but I just, huge kudos to that. I don't know which one of the two that was on the attack line said that to him, but I'm glad their mind was there to say that and give that guy a chance to, hey, you're going to buy yourself some seconds. So that's something I wish I would have done differently. And then the other realization I had through the ladder up there, up to the top of the railing. And watching a recent rescue out of, I think it was Texas, it's like, maybe the bottom of the railing would have been easier because now you're trying to get somebody up on the railing and over to the ladder. Because I'd always practiced with windows, not with railings. And so I just went with the way I had done it. And trying to get somebody without being able to give them a boost or whatever, get them up over a railing onto a ladder. I'm just lucky this guy was, relatively young in his 40s. Probably and was able to boost himself up over and get on that ladder. But that was one of those things that after the fact, it's like, okay, we need as a department to get to balconies and practice with balconies versus just throwing the windows all the time. So he got him on the ladder. No complaints at that point in terms of anything medical. He ended up getting checked out and was fine. But again, going back to making it normal, like I'm still hugging him from behind just to make sure if he loses his footing or something, I can just push him into the ladder. And so I'm cracking jokes with him, like, hey man, sorry to get all fresh with you, but I want to make sure you don't fall off this ladder. And he's laughing. And it's like, it just, like I said, I'm just a proponent for taking the chaos and the unfamiliarity out of those situations. And so that little bit of humor, took him from, and honestly, to an extent, me from 100 miles an hour to, all right, we're good now. Like, we're good. Hey, man, your cell phone's falling out of your pocket. I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to drop it on the ground. I'll get it back to you. Or, anybody else in the apartment, stuff like that. And so so he ended up, walking over, getting checked out by the medics from Northwood and was good to go. We then got a report, and I talked to the dispatcher who took the call of another victim inside on the top floor. And that was the one that the Perrysburg Township crew, they had probably the most intense search and rescue. And I won't talk too much about it because I wasn't part of their crew. But I can say they, compared to mine, this guy was sheltered in place. They had to go in and figure out what apartment it was. And they did an awesome job with that second grab. And then Rossford actually, as far as I understood, found somebody in one of the basement apartments and walked them out as well. So, but had to wait until more than likely wait until the smoke cleared up a little bit. So three people removed from the burning house or apartment. It was one apartment off. It sounded like maybe the initial reports were maintenance saw smoke coming from the window, and then the window either broke or somebody broke the window thinking it was going to help, and it torched the one apartment, but it didn't get out of that apartment, other than some minor extension. So, but like I said, my in the grand scheme, it's one of those where, like, I texted you because we're friends and I text you anytime something interesting happens. But it didn't feel like it's like, I think my brother put it perfectly, because obviously we talk all the time too. And he's like, good job doing exactly what's expected of you. Like, and I can't put it any better, right? Like, I didn't do anything extraordinary. We all trained to throw a 24-foot ladder with one person, I hope. We all trained to talk to our victim. We all trained to do this stuff. And we got to be in that mindset to kind of, to use the Nick Martin phrase, but every fire you go to is going to be a working fire with a victim and a mate. And if you go in with that mindset, it's not going to catch you off guard. Yeah, you're might be a little faster, and but if you've trained for it, it's just second nature, and that's what we're supposed to do. So in the grand scheme, it doesn't feel like Even calling it a grab feels a little disingenuous because I helped a guy down a ladder, but I think the stressing of, being proficient at throwing that 24-foot ladder on your own, especially in places like us where we don't know who's showing up on those rigs on the volunteer side, or the paid per call, responding from home. So you've got to do that. You don't have the luxury of having two people to throw a 24-footer, especially when you're simultaneously. I think we had four people on scene, five people maybe that were actually up at the scene at that point. So you're trying to attack the fire and, get that rescue done all at the same time. You've got to be able to do that stuff on your own. And I learned a heck of a lot of little nuggets that, I would do differently next time. But overall, like I said, it was one piece of a much larger puzzle where the teamwork came together. Rossford's crew getting that quick attack, Perrysburg Township getting their victim out from their apartment. That was just it was years of coordination and training and working together that led to the fact that everybody went home in the respect of all those citizens went home. All those citizens got to go to a home that night, and it might not have been theirs, but all of that led to them being able to say, I'm okay. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Especially people get stupid in situations. We might look at somebody on a balcony with smoke, and you said it well, like, shut the door and you're going to be fine. That's not the victim that's in the most priority for rescue, right? It's better, especially when we got limited staffing, to get somebody inside and see where those interior occupants might be. But that doesn't mean that the smoke, he doesn't catch a couple whiffs of smoke, get panicked and jump. Hey, bro, you were safe. You were relatively safe. Don't jump. But people do stupid things. Because now I'm in a different role and riding in a chief's buggy. People that arrive on fire grounds, I feel like they like to hang out with other people that are dressed like them. Engineers, a lot of times, just wearing the bunker pants, hang out with other people that are dressed the same way. And especially with short staff departments, we don't have the luxury of losing every third guy or every chief that arrives on scene to just throw a helmet and jacket on and stand at the command post. So, for chiefs or people that might be filling the safety role out there, just talk about it for a second, the importance of keeping up with your skills and going with appropriate PPE for an opportunity that might present as you're on the Charlie side or something.
I'm going to trigger some folks here. I know it, but I'll be honest. I wrote myself up. I actually had my deputy chief write me up because we had an incident where it was actually, and I love him to death. He's an amazing guy. He's retired from Toledo. My deputy chief was, we were at a, it ended up being a small exterior fire at an old Wendy's restaurant that's been converted to another restaurant. And he was up on the roof and he didn't grab his helmet after he set the truck up, but he set the ladder up by himself. Because he rolled it with one person, because that's the world we live in, and just forgot to grab his helmet. So I'm like, hey, we got to hold everybody accountable equally. I'm just going to give you a verbal just so it's documented that we didn't treat you any different than anybody else. So I'm getting dressed in the back of my buggy when I hear, something about somebody on a balcony. So I went up without a helmet and I believe without an SCBA. So I'm just, turn out coat, turn out pants, whatever. And my perspective and one of my mentors put it really well, like you can do the right thing and still get a sheet of paper, but I'm not going to let a sheet of paper stop me from doing the right thing. And I get that I'm the chief here, but I'm still going to do the right thing somewhere else. Because if I get fired from that department, if I decide to fire one of my people because they went up and made a grab off a balcony without their PPE on, because it was either finish putting your PPE on or that guy might jump, like you said. You know what? If you get a sheet of paper, just so that way the next time somebody does it because they don't care or they didn't train and they should have been geared up, we need to be able to hold those people accountable equally. So I'm a big proponent of, it doesn't matter what I got on my collar or what color my helmet is. I got a verbal counseling for that. And some people might not agree with that, and I get that, and that's up to your own department, but I didn't have my stuff on. And if something had happened, I'm going to have to explain that to somebody. But in the moment, I'm still going to do what's best for that citizen, and I learned from it. You know, I actually rearranged how I have my gear in the rig, in my car, to try and kind of make that a faster process. So, you know, there's stuff to learn from those moments as well. The When I talked about Chief Musop and Alan Clay, I was on the east side of Alan Clay's jurisdiction, their fire district, as a part-time chief. And then I came over and now I'm on the west side of their jurisdiction. And so we've worked together now for at least 2 years. And that is one of the things that we have, one of the agreements and understandings we have in place is, look, we're both fire chiefs, but we are both very much still passionate about being firefighters. And there is absolutely, like you said, like I'm a command from the car guy. I am very much tactical worksheets and command from the car and two radios and all that stuff. But if I'm not command and we're short-staffed, I can fill any role from safety to command aide all the way down, you know, down to the important task level role, which is being a firefighter. You know, I've been to daytime fires in neighboring jurisdictions where, because I have the benefit of having all my stuff in my car, I am the fourth person on scene, and Chief Musop has assigned me to join the attack crew. And then when we get more people there, then I can maybe back off or become a division supervisor and provide some of that experience on that fire floor. Because that's my other concern is, you know, if I've got a rig with brand new people on it, put Chief Musop outside to be safety and walk around the building and say, yep, it's on fire. You know, unless we've got a concern for something specific, I'd rather have him in supervising a division, so my new people know they've got some experience behind them and feel that level of comfort, because our role, as I see it, as company officers and command officers, is we provide that level of safety. We worry about the firefighter safety, so the firefighters can worry about the citizen safety. And so remembering that chief officers in these situations, in these departments where we're struggling with staffing, where we don't know who's going to show up, where we need the fire to go out. And that may mean, you know, yeah, you don't just throw your coat on and wear your polyester pants. We have to be firefighters sometimes too, to get the mission done. And is it ideal? No. Is it a band-aid while we grow and while we figure out full-time staffing and getting firefighters in? Absolutely. But right now, that person whose house is on fire doesn't care if you are a fire chief or a firefighter. They want the fire to go out. It's better for them. It's better for us. It keeps our crews safer. It gets our units back in service sooner to get that fire out sooner. And so we won't jeopardize command. We won't jeopardize, you know, we had a lumber yard fire in their jurisdiction. That one, I knew I'm not going in. I did just wear a coat and a helmet. Because I knew I was going to be a division supervisor on the exterior for that one. So there are times that we deviate from that, but for a one room off fire, there's a good chance I'm going to be on attack if it's, you know, the afternoon and we're all short, to get the mission accomplished, and we'll keep building toward a more permanent solution down the road.
That's good. So we're gonna wrap stuff up, but man, the couple
Yeah.
key takeaways I got on this one is if you don't have a plan for a balcony rescue, go play with it and
Yes.
have each other climbing over that balcony to see what works best for you. And then if you're a chief officer, make sure you got your stuff set up in your car the right way. Make sure you're proficient at throwing a 24 if need be. And man, just if you're not command, get out and be the eyes and ears. And maybe you can pick up on something or fill a gap that needs to be done. So I definitely appreciate you recording this with me, Barrett. And I don't know, you got anything else before we wrap up?
You know, there's one other takeaway that I took from this that you know, goes to show that there's something. Just, I never leave a fire call or an EMS call where I think everything went right, but this was a gut-wrenching feeling for me. So at one point, we had there was fire coming out of the basement window of that apartment, and we had a crew available. There was a line stretched to that window, and I had missed the traffic that attacked was making progress getting into the fire department. So I thought they were delayed, or I didn't know what was going on that delayed them. So I said, hey, let's transition that. You know, let's make a quick exterior knock and support them. And what it ended up doing in reality was pushing that heat back on that crew until a good friend of mine that I got on roster with, Chris Segura, got on the radio and said, "Stop hitting the fire from the outside." And that is something that I have preached about in training and listening, talking about after action reports and stuff with us. Is like, look, if we've got a crew inside, we need to be careful not to do that. And then I was in that position where I made the wrong call. And we did a tailboard and I told them I screwed up and I apologized. But nobody got hurt, but they could have. And so that's that, knee-jerk, or not knee-jerk, but that stomach churning kind of takeaway that sits with you in a pit for a couple of days. And realizing that we're going to make mistakes and we need to own them and we need to learn from them. And I'm absolutely going to learn from it. But again, going back to, I don't want it to seem like, this fire chief in somewhere Ohio made a grab and like, oh, look at him. No, like, dude, I messed up so many things on this call. And one of the best things we can do in the fire service is to also share our mistakes so other people can learn from those. Because if we can't be humble enough to do that, and we can't share, like, hey man, like, I totally screwed up. I shouldn't have had him pick up that line. I shouldn't have had him spray water in there. We screwed up. I screwed up the mission because I made the wrong call, and I learned from that. And I think, we can do all that stuff. That's not great for us, but we can reflect on that and have the perspective to say, hey man, I screwed up. Like, and I want to share with you how I screwed up because that's going to help you. I think that's one of the key ways that I've said frequently, if we had to do a press conference after a football game, like the coaches do, what would we say? Would we be honest with ourselves and say, yeah, the fire went out? Well, the fire's going to go out even if we don't show up, technically. So like, let's just be honest and say, here's what went well and here's what didn't, and let's learn from both of those things.
Very good. Well, keep doing good stuff up there. Hopefully, I'll see you soon. If you're out there listening, two things. You may have noticed we got a new bumper thanks to Brian DeToto, also a fellow Perrysburger. So he tweaked up that song just a little bit. And I'll put the name of that song in the show notes. But then, more importantly, if you're on a grab, you guys make a rescue, please go to Firefighter Rescue Survey and fill out that survey. That information is for us, by us. It just makes us better. And again, just like Barrett said, it's about being honest with ourselves and really training on the stuff that we need to train on. So until next time, thanks for listening.